Friends, today we're continuing the series, If I Planned Worship, We'd Have a Lot More Blank. A couple of weeks ago, I introduced Dr. Corrine Ware's Spirituality Wheel, which is a way of looking at people's spirituality types in a serious and thoughtful way. The Spirituality Wheel suggests that just like we have different personality and behavior styles, and we have different learning styles, we also have different ways of connecting with God. So we've got the wheel here. We started with Joe talking about mystical spirituality. Those who are who believe in the great mystery of God don't need to figure things out, are open more to hearing from God than to telling God things. We went from there to social justice spirituality, which Dr. Ware's studies suggest is the least populated area there. Social justice spirituality, where our faith must be manifest in action. So those who are marching and who are doing the work of social justice. And today, next week we'll get to head spirituality, which is a way of taking God in through liturgy and reading and studying and those kinds of ways. And today, heart spirituality, which we'll talk about a lot more. It was a joy to hear from Reverend Tony last week about his experiences as a person who resonates most with social justice spirituality. And our scripture last week was the story of Jesus overturning the tables in the temple, the tables of the money changers, in what was certainly an example of faith turned into action. So today, our scripture story is one that's probably very familiar to you, but I hope that you will give yourself the opportunity to hear it in a different way this morning. Our scripture this morning is from Luke, the 10th chapter. But just before the story that I'm going to focus on, I want you to know that this is what had happened. You'll know this story too. It was the occasion when an expert in law stood up to test Jesus. Do you remember that? And he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what's written in the law? How do you read it?" And the man said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." So that's a good place to start with heart spirituality. Here we go from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But Jesus answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So you've got two sisters, one who is working away in the kitchen preparing a meal for Jesus, and the other who has dropped down on the floor beside him and is just soaking up his presence. Now, we often talk about how Mary just wants to be in the presence of Jesus, just wants to make that heart connection like you would with any friend that you haven't seen in a while. But this morning, I want to stretch us out of that place. And here's why. Many years ago now, at one of our annual deacon retreats, we introduced the deacons to the spirituality wheel. And after everyone assessed where they were, we invited them to tell the rest of the deacons what their spirituality type was. And when we asked the heart types, and we invited them to tell each other, what do you want other people to know about your spirituality type? And when we got to the heart spirituality types and we asked them, what do you want people to know about your spirituality? Several of them cried. And they said things like, I don't feel understood. And I don't think people think I'm mature in my faith. I think they think that I don't care about learning or growing, but that's not true at all. These heart spirituality types said, I just feel deeply. I pray to Jesus with lots of emotion, and I call God Father, and I think that's looked down on a lot. Now that broke my heart. And more than anything else this morning, I want to make sure that the heart people in our congregation know that they are welcome and respected. Often because we are so attuned to social justice and because we are very progressive in our theology, the heart people feel left behind. And one more thing. Many of you are higher on the heart section of the wheel than I had expected. You sent me those spiritual analysis, and I appreciate that. So with all that in mind, here's what I want you to think about this morning as we look at Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. Yes, she sat at the feet of Jesus because she loved him. She was devoted to him. But there's more. Lisa Quintana, hosts a site website called Think Divinely, suggests that when Jesus, Rabbi Jesus, allowed and even encouraged Mary to sit at his feet, he was recognizing Mary not just as a follower or friend, but as his student. Quintana reminds us that that would be a major shift in a traditional cultural norm where women were not typically educated. But that's the way the schools of learning were set up. The students would sit at the feet of the teacher. So New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says, quote, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet in the male part of the house, rather than being kept in the back rooms with the other women. And Wright thinks that what was really bugging Martha the most was that Mary was in that privileged place learning from Jesus. And there's more. Wright states that when a student was learning from a teacher, it was a given that you would not be learning just for the sake of informing your own mind and heart, but in order to become a rabbi or a teacher yourself. And it's from that understanding that I want to introduce heart spirituality this morning. It is as real, as relevant, and as respectable as any other. I'm going to invite Taniel to come on up because we're going to get ourselves organized up here. And I promised I would move this out of the way last week so that y'all can see a little better. And I want to go ahead and start introducing type 2 spirituality, heart spirituality. In this type, God is still understood to be knowable, but more through the heart than the head. And if God is love, the assumption is that God must be known through love, not simply known through ideas. And to people in this quadrant, heart spirituality, theology is still important. And scriptures are seen to be the source of our knowing of God. You can bet that a heart spirituality person knows their Bible, or at least parts of it. Prayer is made with words used less formally. You've seen this. And prayer is often extemporaneous, spontaneous, and even exuberant. So very often a heart spirituality person just feels like we're slogging through our prepared prayers. And of primary importance is experience. So what does this all mean? What this means is for heart spirituality, I can feel that God is real and that Christ lives in my heart. And when explaining to people about my faith, I would use as my primary resource my own experience of what Jesus and the church have meant to me. So come on up, Daniel. So we're going to get all organized, and we've got the mic. Is it still up here? Yes. Yes, thank you. Okay. Welcome, Daniel. Thanks for being with me this morning. So I've got some questions for you, the questions that I've been asking. Come a little closer. Great. Good. So I'm going to be asking you some questions that I've asked each of our guests, and I sent these to you ahead of time so you could put together your thoughts on them. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what does it mean to you to identify as a heart spirituality type?
Well, hello, everybody. It's funny you picked me for the heart. I'm a very heart-related spiritual person. Before, I wasn't. In the beginning, I was a head person. I came from an independent fundamental Baptist church, and they were way in their heads. So looking here at the wheel, they were all, none of the other parts of the wheel existed, just the head. The church had a lot of rules, and my relationship with God was messed up all the time, even through Bible college, all of those things. It was so dry. There was no heart involved whatsoever, and it was just aggravating to me. My relationship with God and Jesus was messed up. My life was messed up. So 8 years, I felt worse about it. So finally, I left that church. I asked Jesus to fix my heart. And before that, I was all in my head. I know everything. I know it all and very judgy. You know how that goes, right? And then I came into myself. And I wanted to be a better person, more affectionate, and understand compassion. And when you're all up in your head, you cannot understand compassion because you're just thinking all the time. And you're trying to figure things out, overthinking for one. And so I wanted to move into compassion and empathy. And I'll explain a little bit more in number 5 when we get there. But I wanted to become a better person to help me understand in God. To understand God and Jesus better.
That was quite a journey. It was quite a journey. So you went to Bible college?
Well, yes, the church had a small Bible college in the basement, actually.
Oh, you should have known right then.
Yeah, and they taught a lot.
Okay, all right. So they wanted to be in your head. That's kind of how it went. They wanted to tell you what to believe and how to act and how to think. Well, I'm glad you had an awareness of that and were able to get away from that. So the next question I wanted to ask you is, when do you feel closest to God?
Where's my paper? I wrote all over it, so I was prepared to talk. I still am in my head sometimes. So it's funny that you say closest. To be honest, look at my little doodles here.
Be honest. He underlined be honest when I sent the questions. Yes. Everybody's watching. They're tuned in on. So be honest.
Right. No, of course. Well, related to God, I had different ways of connecting. And things that I did to help me get closer was music or reading. And I've noticed One of the things that helps me stay close, and that's really important, the stay part, is understanding that he really cares, God really cares. You know, you see out in the world, things are terrible. And you're like, hey, God, what about this? Don't you care about this or them or things that are happening? And I remember that inherently God is good. Good to me, good to you. That's something I need to remember. So I stay close by remembering that God really cares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you're like giving a primer on what it means to be a heart spirituality person, connecting through that love, first of all. So, what about your prayer life? What's your go-to way of praying?
I'm going to ask you, what does prayer mean to you, first of all?
Yeah. So prayer is that conduit for me, that conduit, sort of like that river that's flowing. But I guess it flows in two directions. And it opens up that communication between me and God. So sometimes it's a very, sometimes I'm leading worship, so it's a very public prayer. Prepared ahead of time, trying to speak to many people's needs. But very often my prayers are sort of like Anne Lamott said, help me, help me, help me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now when I look at the word pray, it means so many different things to so many different people. And for myself, I talk to Jesus all the time. I just talk to him. That's it. To be honest, if you wanted me to be honest,
I do.
So I am being honest.
So let me ask you a question, because I don't understand this about your life as a deaf man. When you pray, do you sign to God, or is your prayer held inside?
Both, actually. But in my mind, for sure. And in private, I do sign. But mostly I'm going to say it's in my mind. Yeah. And it's an ongoing conversation and a back and forth, like you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can happen all the time. So Jesus is kind of like that friend that's walking beside you and hey,
exactly.
Look at this.
No, exactly. That's the vision.
All right. So I'm fascinated by how much you love music. And I'm wondering first.
I know. Isn't that interesting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So can you tell us, how do you experience music, first of all?
Understand, I'm deaf, as you can see, and I can't hear music. Deaf people, like myself, cannot hear the music. Maricel, isn't that true? Yeah, we don't hear the music at all. And so you're very lucky to be able to hear that. And my mom would always say to me, oh, but you can't hear music. Music is so beautiful. But I'm going to alter my story a little bit. God gave me a gift. Before I met Jesus, auditorily, all I heard was ringing and something that I assume is like static. And I just dealt with it, and it bothered me all the time. It wasn't outside. It was inside my head. And I just got used to it. It was loud. Sometimes it was quiet. But I did notice it all the time. And then once I came to Jesus, after that, I noticed that my ears changed in the sense of relating to music. There were always melodies or beautiful sounds in my ears. And I was like, what is that? And I was so shocked. And from henceforth, the ringing and the irritation of static has been gone. So music is in my ears, and it's music that I've created myself. For example, when a song is playing and I see the lyrics and I absorb the lyrics and I think about what that is, but it's also, there's a melody playing in conjunction with the lyrics while I go along, and to be honest, I don't know how that works, but I'm just feeling it, and I feel inspired, and it's all inside of me, and it gives me immense amounts of energy, and I feel so energized. And I think it's because I'm singing to Jesus with any other kind of music. I don't get that feeling. I don't have any energy from that. But when it's worship and that kind of thing, I feel it. And the melodies play in my head. I guess that's what they are, melodies. I don't know. I don't hear sound. But that's how I think part of it is Jesus had given me a gift. And it helps me if I'm stressed out and I'm dealing with something and I kind of get the worship out, it really helps to calm me.
So when you want to experience that music, when things are making you uptight and you want to experience that music, do you just go to your head and you hear the music, or do you put music on? Like, would you put music on a playlist or do you just let it happen in your head?
I have different ways. Paper music. I read the lyrics.
Yes,
so
the poetry.
And then there is a melody to it, mm-hmm. and the lyrics can assist me, and then I can become attached to the music in that way, and I just feel inspired from it. And you know, I might be singing like an opera
do you
or
in the
something.
Shower? that's hearing.
No,
people
I don't
sing in
do
the
that. No,
so,
I've got a lot going on in the shower with this hair, so I have to really focus on what I'm doing.
Do you have a favorite song?
There's so many songs.
Did you like the one we just sang? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Well, yes, I do like that one. One of my favorite songs is You and Me. You and Me. I don't know how it goes, but it's beautiful for me.
Okay.
I love that song.
All right. Can you like feel the bass rhythm, the low, low bass? Can you feel that? Yeah. So you have an idea of the rhythm. Of the song.
And last thing I do. Before, I absolutely can feel the rhythm.
Last thing before we leave music, do you write songs? Do you write poetry?
I do. I do write music. Yes, I do. Sometimes I just feel inspired and I look at it and I'm like, wow, look at all that I've written.
That's beautiful.
And other times, you know, music goes so deep.
Yes.
And you just express yourself through it and the words just flow. I don't know. They just come out of nowhere. It's like, where on earth did that come from? And I don't really know.
All right. So we're getting to the end here. If someone said, I'm not a heart type and don't really understand that type of spirituality at all, but I would like to, what would you tell them to help them understand?
Well, it's pretty deep, I think. I've thought a lot about this. You and myself and all of us, I know that we think a lot. And so I was thinking about it overnight. And I don't know, my ideas just fell into place. Here, we're all here. And I would tell you, have heart. We all have a heart, right? More than you can really know, seriously. Because we are rainbow people, we're allies, and you hear a lot every day out there, a lot of negative hate speech and messages, and you take it into your heart, and you need to forgive again, and again, and again, and that takes heart to be able to do that, and if you don't use your heart, and if you're all up in your head, all you're going to be is angry. Like, for example, I don't want to insult anybody, but, you know, you don't understand us. You know, there's nothing wrong with us. And that what that causes is anger. And we really need to unplug from that. And I've struggled a lot talking to Jesus about that kind of thing. And why is the world like that? And I try to understand it with my mind. And you can't understand it with... You know, I want to understand it. Why is all this going on out there in the world? And why do people fight and all of that? But you have to walk humbly. Mm. and with Jesus by your side, and Jesus has helped me to have heart. And I'm going to tell you it's hard, but you need to have compassion and empathy. And what happened on the cross with Jesus, well, let me back up just a second. I'm sorry, I'm teaching. I've become in my teaching mode right here. I'm really sorry about that. But for my favorite book in the Bible is John, and it talks a lot about the Father and the close relationship between Jesus and the Father. And so on the cross, when they nailed his hands and put the crown of thorns on his head and nailed his feet, he was stuck. He couldn't reach out and hug anybody. He couldn't get off the cross and walk. But what was left was his heart, and that went out everywhere, and it was wide open. They never put anything through his heart, and he still had his eyes open so he could see. So that's something that I hold on to, that Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And that was one sentence, that part of they know not what they do, that's mm-hmm. something that I hold on to. And what that means to me and us, if, as heart people, we hear all the negative things repeatedly, and things seem to be getting worse, and you have to hold on to that Jesus's message, they know not what they do, have compassion, be not afraid, all whatever it is, don't be in your head, move into your heart. And that's how all of us, I just went to Albuquerque, let's see, it was QCF conference. About 1,000 people had come, and they go every year in January, and it's like one big family of support. And that's why we come here, to support one another. And if we don't have each other and we don't support each other, everything will become worse. Yes. So keep holding on to Jesus, and Jesus in his power will help us to continue to forgive and get into our heart. It's really, we have a lot of heart. We need a lot of heart.
I'm going to take what you said, and I'm going to try it this week, because, you know, they know not what they do. That doesn't compute for me. It's like they know exactly what they're doing. So I'm going to try that this week. I challenge all of you to try that this week. They know not what they do. All right, wonderful. I'm going to ask you one more question. This one you really got to be honest on. If I planned worship, we would have a lot more what? What would we have in the worship time to meet your heart's needs?
I'm going to say I put heart. We would have a lot more heart. That would be my fill in the blank, heart.
How would that play out in worship?
That one, I've been thinking about it, but I think that, let me check my notes. Worship, I don't know. I don't know how it all works. And so I just put down, we would have more heart, because I really don't understand how it works.
But being in the, you've talked about being in the community, being with the other people. You've talked about hearing the music. You hear the music. You receive the prayers. Do you take that in when other people are praying in the worship service, or do you just use that time for your own prayers?
Oh, other people and their prayers are important, because God shows me love through everyone. That was surprising to me. I see a person and I love them, and I see God in them. So I think about this often. Wow, Jesus, that person is amazing. That person is beautiful, and you're beautiful through them. And so I just move along being happy.
Right.
Sometimes if the music is up here, I connect to it more, because we're all together, than if I were alone.
Yes.
And other times I connect more alone. So
I am going to stop you there, because I couldn't have a better ending to this portion, that, you know, everything we're doing has a goal of helping you not only to understand and accept and feel affirmed in your own spirituality, but to understand that when we do something here that misses what you need, it's hitting the mark for someone else. Or we wouldn't do it. So it's if we're doing something here in worship that's not really speaking to your heart, just trust that it is blessing someone else's heart. Thank you so much for being with us, Taniel, and for talking with us and being honest.
Hey, yeah, I do have one more thing, if I might.
Yes, sure.
It's kind of fun. Just give me a moment, okay?
Okay.
Jesus was on the cross. He was stuck with his arms. He couldn't do anything with them. His feet, he couldn't walk. He was unable to hug anybody. But with his heart sprung open, and with it being open, Jesus was giving that to me so I could be open like that. He created all of us with arms. We have arms here, and they're in various sizes, but Jesus wanted to make sure that they're long enough to hug other people, so it doesn't really matter, right? Jesus was stuck, but we now can walk for Jesus and reach out and hug for Jesus. So we hug with our heart because we're heart to heart. We're all up in our heads, you know, you don't do that, but when you move into the heart, you view your heart, and you feel like that person is important, and you hug with your entire front part of your body as well as your arms, and you embrace each other, and that is Jesus moving through us to other people.
Do you see why I asked Taniel? I mean, you can't be around him for a minute not to know his heart is so big. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.